Good to have you guys here. I know a lot of students, they're busy with studying for finals and have other stuff, but you know, well, hopefully they'll trickle in a little while later. But I think we have some new faces today. I think at least one new person. So please, you know, feel free to say hi to him and, you know, talk to him afterwards. So last week we talked about Jesus and some of his first disciples, right? We got Simon, we got Andrew, we got James and John, right? They're all fishermen. And we see that Simon, he was like a fan of Jesus. Jesus was someone who was popular, who was kind of well-known for his teachings, and he had this power, this healing power. And, you know, Simon, he probably liked what he heard and saw, right? Jesus is a good guy, helping out the people here. You know, he allowed Jesus to borrow his boat, right? Remember that people were crowding him on the shores, and Jesus needed to, you know, have some space, so he said, hey, Simon, you know, like, get into his boat, let me, you know, push off a little from shore, have some distance. And Simon's like, yeah, sure, why, Jesus, why not? But that was the extent to which Simon allowed Jesus into, you know, into his life. You can borrow my boat, but then, you know, don't tell me how to do my job, right? Don't tell me how to live my life. You know, Simon, he didn't feel too good about that, right? You'll see, you know, he talks about like, hey, Jesus, you know, we've been working all night, you know, like we didn't catch anything. But, you know, fine, because of you, right? Because you said so, I'll try it one more time. And man, there's a miracle. And they caught so much fish, their nets were breaking, their ships were like sinking, they had to call for help. And after this miracle, Simon Peter, he realized that, man, he's a sinful person. He's a sinful person. And he told Jesus, you know, like, leave me. I'm not worthy to have you here with me. But to this common fisherman, Jesus extended this. He extended this call, and he said to Simon, follow me, right? You're going to be a fisher of men, follow me. A call meant to follow, to leave everything behind, right? They dropped everything, and then they immediately followed Jesus, right? It's to becoming fully committed to becoming more like Jesus in every single way. It could mean, right, the way you speak, the way you think, right? The way you act, the way you spend your time, your money. It could mean, you know, what TV shows you watch or don't watch, right? It could mean like, you know, different things, what music you listen to, right? It should affect the way you interact with your parents or interact with your kids, right? It's like what they were singing about earlier, right? Being different, being something that's different than the world. So that when people see, they see like, hey, there is something different, right? A light for the world to see, right? That's, in a sense, you know, one of the defining characteristics of a disciple, a follower of Jesus. So, I mean, it might seem like a huge set, like, of rules. It might seem like a killjoy, you know, like, man, I can't do this anymore. I used to have fun doing this. I can't do that. Right? It might seem like that, but when you see how good it is to follow Jesus, when you see the value in that, when you see who you once were and now what you have received, you know, it's like the best decision that you can make. And I hope that they will start to make a little more sense as we continue to learn about who this Jesus is, because you might feel like, well, you know, I don't really know Jesus yet. You know, he sounds good. He sounds like a nice guy. Did some good things for people, right? Well, let's learn about him a little more and then see. So the passage we're going to read about today is relatively short. It's only five verses. Okay, it's Luke 5, 12 to 16. It's pretty short, but it's powerful, and it tells us something wonderful about who this Jesus is. So would you turn with me there? If you have your Bibles, perhaps there's one in front of you, or if you use your phone, I'll give you guys a moment to turn there. Like Luke 5, verses 12 to 16. All right, so let's read this together, everyone together. All right. One, two, three, let's go. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing." Let's just continue reading. Yeah, he said, "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. All right. Amen. So I'm just going to, let's go back a little. Okay, so I just want to do like a quick like overview about where we are right now. So I showed this picture like a few months ago, I think, when we first started. So it gives you kind of an idea. So in the beginning, right, like the angel, you know, comes and speaks to Elizabeth, right, saying you're going to have a son, John, right? And then, here's this like, they travel away, right? Like Mary and Joseph, they have to travel to Bethlehem, you know, Jesus is born, right? And then we have some other events, we got wise men over here. We got Jesus being born, shepherds visiting him, right? Herod wants to kill Jesus. And then we got some other events here. Like Jesus, he's in the temple, right? As a 12-year-old boy, and like people are being amazed at his knowledge and his wisdom. Here Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist, different things like that. And here's some events that we didn't cover in Luke because it's not talked about. But here's, and over here, we're probably around here right now. Probably around here. Okay, around here. So this is probably when Jesus and he's in the boat. This is the huge amount of fish that were caught. I think we're about here right now. Okay, we're about here right now. So this is, the whole story of, a part of the story about Jesus right now. So we're probably about here. And Jesus, heals yet again in one of the towns, right? It's not specified which one. It's probably in Galilee, still the same region. The name of this town wasn't given, probably it's not that important, but what's important is the content of this story, right? Because the fact that Luke included it must mean that it's important. So while he was there, there's this man covered in leprosy and approached him. So kind of showed you guys a picture earlier. So here are some leprosy is in general in these times were known as like a very serious skin condition, right? It wasn't necessarily leprosy as we know it today, right? Hansen's disease, right? So it could have been like any types of these kind of skin diseases, okay? Not good, okay? As you can see. It could be contagious, right? So people who were affected with leprosy, they were called lepers, and they were known as unclean people. And there was no cure for it, and the only effective way to stop it was to, quarantine these people who had this disease. So they were separated from the community, right? They couldn't come into the towns. They had to stay outside the towns. And, and people would, bring them food, something like that. And they could only be together with other lepers. So they couldn't have normal contact with people. Like, they had to be separated from their friends, their family. you know, they could no longer like work what they used to do, you know, whatever skill or job or trade that they had. And, you know, whenever they came close to people, maybe people were traveling outside to the town, if they're near them, you know, they would have to say, like, unclean. Like, they had to shout unclean so that people would be warned and they would know so they could keep distance, right? And, you know, that's just like a very horrible way to live, right? It's not something that I guess we would want, right? You know, but on this particular day, right, something really strange and interesting thing happened. This unclean leper approached Jesus, right, fell down, and begged him. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Meaning, willing meaning if you wish to, if you want to, if you so desire, then you can make me clean. You can cure me. Now, this isn't something that you see every day, right? But it happened, so what does it tell us about Jesus? What does it tell us about this leper? He put people at risk, right? He's getting close to them. But he fell with his face to the ground and he begged Jesus. So from that, we can see that there's this man, he's desperate. He's desperate. But why was he so desperate? Why did he go so far, you know, as to do such a thing? I mean, personally, I think that it's because he heard about this man named Jesus who had some kind of healing powers or something like that. You know, he heard about him through other people and he was wondering, hey, maybe, you know, he could make me clean again, right? If he healed other people, why couldn't he heal me? So what this leper was worried about wasn't whether Jesus had the power or the ability to cure him. What he was worried about was whether Jesus wanted to. Like, why would Jesus want to heal me? Right? Do I have a good enough reason for him to want to cure me out of all of my other leper buddies? Right? So that's why he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So we can try to make all the guesses, you know, as to why this leper may have doubts about Jesus' willingness, but ultimately this passage doesn't say, right? It doesn't say why. But what we do know is the response that Jesus had towards this leper. Jesus, he reached out his hand, and he touched him, right? And he said, "All right, be clean." I mean, like, when I read this, I was, like, kind of grossed out. Okay, you see these pictures out here? Like, you know it's contagious, you know it's going to be bad, you know, but Jesus touched him. Like, you know, if I said I give you $1 million, all right, back in those times when there's no cure, right, if I give you $1 million, you would, you know, go and touch somebody like this. Like, how many of you guys would want to do that? Right. You know, like, it's, you know, unless you know, you were Jesus, right? You had these powers, right? That you knew that, you know, when you touched him, you could heal him. Right. So, you know, in chapter 1, you know, we've been told over and over again that Jesus, he's no ordinary man. He's no ordinary man. You know, he's both God and man, fully God, fully man, right, combined. So the leper, so Jesus told the leper, you know, "I'm willing, be clean." And immediately this man, he was healed. So, like, imagine this man who's been suffering for, you don't know how long, how many years, right? It doesn't tell us the age of this man. But he's been suffering, you know, he feels the pain, it itches, you know, it hurts, his skin is probably cracking, it's bleeding, just like pus and everything. And then he's healed, right? This would have been like something amazing, you know, he would have been so happy, right? So overjoyed, so grateful. You know, he, no more physical or emotional pain, you know, people ignoring him, people, you know, rejecting him. He could be with his friends and family again, you know, he could do, you know, what he used to do. Live like a normal person. But in the middle of his, you know, what I would imagine his celebration, he was given two orders. So Jesus says, first, right, don't tell anyone what happened. Don't tell anyone what happened. And when I read this, I thought this was kind of a strange command, right? Because something so awesome just happened, you know, usually people will want to share about it. And why would it be wrong to share about it, right? So just imagine you met someone famous, right? It could be your, childhood, you know, hero, you know, an idol, you know, one of the idols that you have, or it could be like someone famous, you know, someone that you highly respect, right? And then you met the person, you guys took a selfie, you know, the person gave you the autograph, and you just want to like tell people about it, right? Like, hey, you know, something so awesome happened to me. You know, like look at this photo. You know, I really met the person. Here's proof. You want to post it online, like or write a story about it. You want to tell people, but Jesus is like, hey, you know, don't tell anyone what happened. All right. How might you feel about it, right? What might you do? So then the second command was this: go and present yourself to the priest, right, and make the sacrifices commanded by Moses. So basically, when he presented himself to a priest, the priest would examine him and kind of check to see whether this, you know, you're really healed or not. Right? You're doing like an examination. And if it's true, then there would be some sacrifices that are given. So Jesus is actually talking about Leviticus 14. Right? Leviticus 14. So the whole like half of that chapter talks about these, you know, these requirements for someone who claims to be healed. Right? So it's you can find it in Leviticus 14, 1 to 32. So here's just a short, you know, portion of it. So you see here, like the Lord said to Moses, all right, these are regulations, you know, probably for a priest, examine them, and then, you know, they're to have these live clean birds, you know, and one would be killed and one would be let loose. And then there's also other things involving like lambs and stuff like that. So this is, you know, the command that they had. So by going to the priest, this man he would have proof of his healing. Right, people might not believe him because they probably know about this person, you know. And then by doing so, he would be a witness, right? He'd be a witness to these priests or to these other people that he really was healed, and also that Jesus has this power, right? It could be confirmed, right? Because you can't really like fake being a leper your whole, you know, for a long time, and suddenly saying you're healed, right? You can't fake that. So Jesus showed that, you know, he was a good Jew, right? He kept the commands. He told this guy, you know, follow the rules, right? Follow the rules. Told the man to do the right thing, right? But however, we find out not in Luke's, you know, rendition of this story, but in Mark chapter 1, we find out that this man disobeyed. He went and he told, you know, people everything, right? He told everyone what happened. I mean, he did go, you know, to the priest, but he told everyone that happened, what happened, and he went and he spoke freely about it. And as a result, Jesus, he couldn't enter the, you know, the town anymore. Jesus, he was famous. He was known for his healing powers, his teachings, and, you know, people knew that he was coming. They probably crowd him like paparazzi, and, you know, he wouldn't have the space, you know, to do what he needed to do. Remember that the reason why Jesus, he was sent, right, was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That was the main reason. But because people heard the news of Jesus entering the town, you know, they brought all the sick people, went to find Jesus, you know, and because of that, he probably didn't have time to, you know, as much time to preach, right? Just like, you know, hundreds of people or something, and he like, remember we talked about last time, you know, he laid hands on each one of them, you know, like, that's just a lot of work, takes a lot of time, so must have been exhausted after that. Right, preaching was his primary, you know, purpose, but healing was also, you know, secondary, right? It's not like he didn't do any. He did some. But, you know, after such a tiring day, Jesus, you know, he would probably often, you know, he would retreat to a lonely, quiet place to pray. So I think this is a great example for us, you know, when you're tired, you know, after, you know, being so busy, you're exhausted. Maybe you're serving the Lord in some way, you know, just retreat, you know, and spend some time with God and pray, talk to God. But, you know, when I read this story, you know, what stood out to me was verse 12 and 13. So look at verse 12 and 13. It says, right, that this beggar, he comes over and he begs, I mean, I'm not the beggar, this leper comes and begs Jesus and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Somehow this man, he was uncertain, you know, whether Jesus wanted to heal him. That's why he said, Lord, if you're willing. And I think a lot of people, they feel this way as well. Right? They aren't sure if God is willing to save them. Right? Like they think that they're too far gone. Right? They've done too many wrong things. They've crossed the line of no return. That they're too dirty for a holy God. Right? They're too dirty. And then they say, you don't know the things I've done. You know, God wouldn't want, to have anything to do with me. Like, you don't know my past. You don't know what I've been through. God wouldn't want to have a relationship with me. And because of that, they feel like, they have no hope. They have no hope. And I think it's a tragic picture. It's a tragic picture because, this isn't the God that's described to us, that's being revealed to us through the Bible. Right? We know who God is, through his word, and more specifically through the person of Jesus, because Jesus is the exact representation of who God is. Right? He's God in the flesh, who people could have seen, who could have touched, who could hear. Right? And this person, Jesus Christ, is willing, right, to say to all people, be willing, be clean. I'm willing, be clean. So that's why Jesus, he stretched out his hand and he touched this leper who, no one would touch, who no one would have contact with, Jesus did. Right? It doesn't matter how dirty your life has been, like what horrible things you've done, your past, things that you feel shame about or you feel guilty about. God is willing to say, be clean. He's willing to cleanse you. So, you know how in some books or movies, there's this character who did a lot of horrible things in the past. Okay, maybe this character was like a mercenary or something like that. And maybe one of his missions was like kill a family or something like that. And he's like, he's killed children and all that. And it's like horrible, right? Horrible. But now he wants to turn like a new leaf, right? Like kind of restart now. Maybe he disguises himself, trying to change, have like a makeover or something like that, and wants to live like as normal people now, right? Do good things. So this character tries to blend into society, help out people, and in a sense like atone or cover for their sins. Maybe this person, instead of doing accepting these missions, to do these bad things, it's like now he's like fighting off bad guys, protecting the people who can't protect themselves, these farmers or something like that, and that's all that this character feels like they can do, right, at this stage. He's convinced, and even though they spend the rest of his life doing good, right, they oftentimes, he'll be fighting some ultimate enemy and says like, and it's going to be really intense, so he's like, see you in hell, or something like that. He basically saying that, even though I'm doing all these good things, we're both going to be in hell, you and me. Even though I'm doing these good things, like, there's no hope. There's no hope. He's convinced that he's going to go to hell, where bad people go, I guess. And when we watch this character, I think oftentimes we feel, like, sorry for this guy. Right, like we know, like, oh, you've done a lot of bad things in the past, but you're not about that life anymore. You're doing good now, right? You're helping the elderly. You're playing, you play with the kids or what? You do good things, right? You earn money now. You don't steal money. It's like it's okay now. It's good now. It's good now. Just live in a moral way now. But he can't. He can't. He can't get away from his past, right? He can't get rid of this shame, this guilt that he has that haunts him, that he has nightmares about, right? And in a sense, this was my story as well. I knew Jesus was powerful, right? I grew up going to church. I knew Jesus was powerful. I knew the stories. I know he could work miracles. I know he lived a sinless life and died on the cross, absorbing all the sins into himself, in the whole world into himself. Right. And he resurrected so that people who would follow him would have new life. Even so, I knew this. I had this feeling that, I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough to be like this holy Christian or something. And I had this doubt that God would want to save me personally. right? Like, I'm just one out of the millions and billions of people that have existed in this world. You know, would Jesus die for me? Jesus, you know, he died over 2,000 years ago. Does that mean anything for me now? Right? Does it count for anything? Now, I will say the amazing thing is that the truths in the Bible, they are timeless. Okay? And they're true across all generations. Right? Luke doesn't record this, but in the same account in Mark chapter 1, right? Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, it says that Jesus had compassion on this leper. Jesus was moved with compassion. And so I looked up online, you know, this is a definition of compassion. It says it's a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. Right. So Jesus, he understood where this man was coming from. He understood this guy. He could feel it. He knew it. He knew all the thoughts that were running through this leper's mind, you know, through his head. The doubts, the insecurity. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus, he extends grace to this leper. Right? Jesus, he didn't have to heal him, right? The leper knew that. Jesus didn't have to heal him. You know, the leper didn't do anything that deserved that, right? You know, there's nothing he could have done to earn his cleansing. You know, since we already acknowledge all of that, it's not his power that he was doubting, but whether Jesus was willing. Whether Jesus was willing. And this is where I think the leper got it right. Okay, leper got it right. He recognized his helpless condition. His helpless condition, and he went to the only one who could heal him. And is this possibly, you know, I'm wondering, is this possible that this is something that you want as well? Is this something that you want? That you've been, you know, you've been running in your life, you've been running, and you've been trying, you've been searching out different solutions, you know, to heal yourself, you know, this brokenness inside of you. Right? You realize that there's something wrong with your life. And you're tired, you're exhausted. You need to come before Jesus and express your need for him, your need for a Savior, right? To receive this Jesus who loves you, who died for you, who can cover your sins and wash you white as snow. And because you realize that this Jesus is the best thing that you could ever, you know, believe in, follow. That following Jesus is the best thing that you could do. That you receive a new identity, a renewed purpose. Because Jesus is the only person who can make any of this possible. Right? And to you, I want to say today that God says, I'm willing. I'm willing. Be clean. Come and follow me. Right? Come and follow me. Right, last week we talked about Simon, right? I mean, Simon wasn't a leper, right? But to such, you know, a person who was not the cream of the crop, right? Who was not the smartest dude. You'll find out, you know, throughout the Gospels that Peter was, oftentimes he said and did the wrong things at the wrong time, you know, all the time, right? He's not the smartest guy. But to him, Jesus called, come and follow me. Right, same thing as this, you know, you might think, okay, well, Simon's not too bad, right? Think about this leper, right? Nobody wants contact with this leper, right? But to such a person, Jesus says, I'm willing, be clean. If this is something that you want, right, or something, you know, or you need someone to talk to, you know, please contact us, you know, if find Elder Jerry or Vanessa or me, or if you want to write down like a prayer request, we have some cards that are available. Let us know, because we'd be so glad to talk with you. And for if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, a follower, a disciple of Christ, is there something that you know, you feel like it's on your heart that, you know, like you've done something wrong. You've done something, like, and you're feeling guilt about it. You're feeling shame. I want to tell you that God can forgive you. God can forgive you. God can heal you. God can cleanse you. He's willing. So if there's something on your heart that you need to confess to God today, you know, I encourage you to do so. And I'll just give 1 or 2 minutes, you know, just to talk to God, let God know, you know, what's happening right now. Just ask God, hey, forgive me, God. I'm wrong. I've done something wrong. Forgive me. And he will.